You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
All things are possible, this is His word. Receive it, it's written for you. Believe in His promises, God can.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Please join us at 201 Southwest Flagler Avenue, Stuart at 9:30 a.m. each Sunday morning. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
We purchased property in 2001. And there have been many reports that would have suggested that we would never even get started. And this is not the first time we dealt with this. When we were looking to build in the city was not very positive about a church being built on Central Parkway. We had neighbors that came and stood and watched everything we did, and they said, "We are here to make sure you never get this permit and get started." We had commissioners that said, "If you get a permit, you'll be the last church that builds in the city of Stuart." We had commissioners at meetings who said, "I don't care what you're asking for, we are opposed to it." They didn't even hear what we were asking for. They just said, "We oppose it." They opposed a Christian school. They opposed a preschool. They opposed when we fed the needy. They opposed us building a playground. They opposed when we went outdoors and built an amphitheater and built the garden tomb, but God has sustained us. Someone told me the other day, "I was trying to find your church for an hour. We never could figure out where you guys worship." The fact that you found us is shy of just being a major miracle. We have been without signage, without exposure. We haven't done any of the things you're supposed to do to build a church. But we're not interested in building a church for ourselves. We're interested in seeing the kingdom of God advance in this city and God being glorified in a place where the glory of the Lord can be resident with His people. We are here to be a blessing to every pastor that lifts up the name of Jesus Christ. We have always opened our buildings. We've had many churches start with us. We never charged any of them. We loaned out our tents, our buses, our stage, our sound system. Some came back blown up. Some came back wrecked. It didn't matter. It's not ours. It belongs to God. I want to tell you this morning, what God does in your life and what God does through His church in this city has nothing to do with the size or the number of people. It has to do with the size of the God who is on the move, and our God is on the move, and all hell cannot stop Him. I told you I was going to read this old document. Let me tell you what it says. John 10:10, "The thief cometh not but for to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." 35 years ago in a few days, we had our first service. I believe it was in our home, and then very quickly we ended up in the Stuart Women's Club. And that's kind of where we started. And that's not the birthing center, though it was a spiritual birthing center. Let me share with you what I wrote back on our 24th anniversary. How time flies. It's hard to believe the 24 years. This was on our 24th anniversary. Today is 35. Years have passed since we had our first service. Abundant Life, and this is what I wanted to share. Abundant Life in Stuart is in Stuart to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ and to demonstrate the power of God through the Holy Spirit. We are not going to apologize that we believe in signs, wonders, and miracles because our God is not dead. He is alive, and we believe Him and we follow Him in that kind of a way. We are not ashamed of Jesus. We are not ashamed of the Holy Spirit. We are not ashamed to declare and demonstrate that God continues to move in Pentecostal power today. We are the people of God, a people who love and live in the Word of God and who move by the Spirit of God. We are not a church of people, but we are a people who are the church. Just as the human body without the Spirit is dead, the church without the Holy Spirit's power is dead. And that's the problem in our nation. We have too many dead buildings loaded with people who do not know their God is alive. And He lives amongst us today. We're not ashamed of the baptism of the Holy Spirit or the manifestation of the Spirit in our lives. We will not develop programs or policies designed to control and limit the Holy Spirit's freedom in our services. I want you to know that I still stand where I've always stood. Let God be God. Let God show up. Let God do what God wants to do. And let God use whoever He wants to use. I'm just a servant here. We welcome the voice of the Holy Spirit through prophetic utterances in known and unknown languages with interpretation according to the Word of God. We have no desire or intention to compete with or become a religious institution of man. We recognize that we war against the devil and that spiritual warfare with humans' weapons, it is impossible. It is by the Holy Spirit we are equipped to tear down the strongholds of darkness and to destroy the work of the evil one. I thank God for the wonderful opportunity to serve God and the body of Christ on the Treasure Coast. And boy, I did not know how much I would get to do that. And God keeps giving us a little bit more and a little bit more. And I say, God, use me more. It's a dangerous prayer, Bill. Where's Bill? It's a dangerous prayer when you say, use me, God. And I'm saying, God, use me more than ever before. I'm not as young as I used to be, but let me tell you, I'm not as dumb as I used to be either. I have been through some valleys, and I've been through some shadows of death, and I know what it is to stand toe-to-toe with the devil. I know what it is to smell his stinking breath. I know what it is to hear his lying voices in my head, and I know what it is to let God arise and the devil have to flee in Jesus' name. I thank God for each one of you who have joined with the family of God and served God with us. Many of you have served with us over the years. We are filled with excitement and anticipation as we look ahead at what God has for us. We are a family of Spirit-filled, Spirit-anointed, Spirit-baptized believers who are excited about knowing and serving Jesus in this generation. If you're looking for a pity party, you're going to have to move on down the street because there's nothing inside of me that's discouraged or disheartened. I am more full of faith than I've ever been in my whole life, and I'm excited to press forward with the anointing of God. Wherever it points, I want to follow close behind. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We are strong in the Lord and the power of His might. We are bold and courageous. We know that all things are possible with God. We're going to go to Isaiah 58, if I can get there. But let me share something with you. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, there's an account of a man who brought his child to the disciples that were there. As you recall, the disciples were not able to set this child free from that demonic spirit. When Jesus came with Peter, James, and John, came down from the mountain, this man, he said, "What is all this crowd about, this noise about, these questions about?" And the man told Jesus what was going on with this boy. And he said, "If you can do something, help me. If you can do something." Jesus addressed him and said something that's powerful. And what he said was that all things are possible. That has to be in the Word, in the will, and the time of God. I'm not talking about commanding God. I'm talking about God's Word leading our lives by His Spirit. Jesus said, all things are possible to who? To him or those who believe. Let me point something out to you. It does not say that all things are possible to believers. I know a lot of believers that do not have much faith at all, and they do not expect anything out of the ordinary out of God. They live their lives in the ordinary. They live their lives so much like the world, you couldn't tell the difference. When they come to church, they may function in a ceremonial way, but it's as if there is no living God. Many people are believers, but so is the devil. But the Word of God says something about the devil's belief. It's different than most religious people who are not righteous. The Scripture tells us that Satan believes and trembles. Now, Doris, when you have that kind of operative knowledge, that what you know about God makes you shake, when you realize that all power, all authority is under the name of Jesus, the devil knows that. But many people in the church do not know that because their preachers have not told them that to release them to live and to walk and move in victory in their own personal lives. And so God has not called us simply to be believers who are having a little kumbaya gathering and lunch over there at the park today in that little building, that little place. Oh no, God has called us to be those individuals who personally believe in the power and anointing and the flowing and the working of the Holy Spirit now in our lives. All things are possible to those who have operating faith in the preceding Word of God. There's a lot of people are believing their church to get them to heaven. They're going to be sorely shocked to find out that their priest and their bishop can't get them there, and their name being on the local book is not going to get them there. But it's so much simpler. It's simply to have your name written down in God's book, in the book of life. And so all things are possible to him who believes in the Word of God. Luke 18:27 tells us what is impossible with man is possible with God. And for some reason, God has allowed me to spend most of my life in a realm where it was not possible from my perspective. Some of you have heard me tell stories. We had wonderful family with us. He was the president of Black & Decker Power Tools for many, many years, served on our board. One day he shared with me, he said, "Jonathan, I have a lot of experience in management and administration, having everything in its place, having resources for everything, having people to do all the work, having plans and everything that's needed to make things happen. But," he said, "I don't have a lot of experience in the realm of faith." He said, "I've never had a late bill in my whole life. I've always had money budgeted to take care of everything. One day, my wife is going to be an extremely rich widow." But he said, "I don't have a lot of experience in the realm of faith." I said to my friend, "If you hang out with me a while, And if my walk doesn't make you crazy, you're going to get acquainted with how God has mercy on a McLean who doesn't have anything well put together, but I have a God that holds everything together. I don't know what it is to have everything I need in advance, but I know what it is to have God in advance. And when God says, get out of the boat, I'm going to get out of the boat and I'm going to follow Him. And that's the way I've learned to follow my God. And I want to encourage you to understand, we are not going to hire professionals to come in and raise money from this congregation. We are not going to put on some kind of a big program and try to manipulate and try to get you to budget and to give and to sacrifice. We are going to together cry out to God and say, God, you show us the way and we'll follow you in it. This is not about what you can do and you can give, or I can do and I can give. There's been enough of that, and there's mansions all over the coastline that are the result of people who plan to live it big here. Since I'm planning to live it big forever, and I plan to be in the presence of God as one of His servants, I want to invite you to step into the realm that's beyond what you can see or understand or make happen, and step into the realm of faith with me and see what God can do. I don't have to build anything. It's not my project. This is not my church. I'm a servant here like you. I only serve here. God could take me home today. I'm ready to go home. I'm hopeful the Lord lets me see a lot of things done. I'm full of enough vision. I would have to live another 100 years, and I hope Jesus comes long before that. But that's not the point. The point is that for such a time as this, for such a time as this, in the midst of chaos in our world, fear in our world, struggles, anxiety in so many people's lives, God is still God. And I believe God is calling the church without shame and without apologies to begin to stand up again and say, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the same thing that He did as He walked on the earth, the Son of God, the Messiah, He has entrusted to the church. And we're not shuttering the few windows we have. And we're not going to try to build a Taj Mahal, because we're not building anything to impress anybody. We simply are desiring a place where the people of God can worship and be equipped to do the work of God in this community that God has called us to. That's all. That's all. I had a pastor sometime back say, if you ever get to build, are you going to put a floor in the church this time? And that question was almost as relevant as the next question. I had someone say, well, we didn't even have restrooms in that last building we had, and we had to walk down the path and go to another building to get to the restroom. Are we going to have any restrooms in this church? Are we going to have a place for men and women in the church to go to the restroom? I said, oh, yes, God willing, we'll do that. Isaiah 58. God is good. God is good. Isaiah 58. Let me just share this with you real quick. The first several verses of this chapter is a charge that God has to Israel. We've spoken of that some in the last few days. Starting with verse 6 and 7, we see the purpose, and I want to just touch on this. The purpose. Is not this the kind of fasting I've chosen? Look at this. It's spiritual. It's internal. It's spiritual breakthrough. To loose the chains of injustice. Loose the chains. That's bondage. Spiritual breakthrough. Untie the cords of the yoke. Habits. that have bound an individual up. Strongholds of the devil in their life, in your family. Spiritual breakthrough. There's no natural breakthrough without a spiritual breakthrough. To untie the cords. The next, to set the oppressed free. The oppressed. Demonic oppression. Not being able to sleep at night. Not having peace in your life. Not having a clear mind. Struggling with voices. The oppressed. Spiritual breakthrough. And to set the oppressed free and to break every yoke. Say every yoke.
Every.
I want you to know this is an all-inclusive plan of God spiritually that leaves us totally free. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. We've been fasting and praying. We are now going to walk in faith and believe that the God who has called us out of darkness is going to lead us forward into freedom for our families, our husbands, our wives, our children, our grandchildren, our brothers, our sisters, our moms, our dads, our neighbors, our neighborhoods, to break every yoke. That's all the internal, the spiritual breakthrough. But then it deals with external. If there's truly a move of God, it's going to manifest. It's going to be visible. And is not the fast, is not the pursuit of God to share your food with the hungry? God cares about the hungry, feeding the hungry. The High is right across the street from our property. We'll have more opportunities to partner with them. We fed people from the community. Not just homeless people, but lonely people. We fed anybody. Anybody who showed up. You didn't have to show driver's license or anything. We fed anybody that came in. And then we had a service and endeavored to reach them with the love of God. Feed the hungry. If all we do is have a spiritual gathering and we don't take it to the streets, then we are failing to be the church. Randy Skinner told me in West Palm with the Sean Foyt event that they're going to the streets. They had 100 people that were scheduled to go into the streets and go street to street and knock on doors, praying with people in Palm Beach County. It's time that we in Martin County began to say, God, what's the next step? We don't need to do their plan. We need to say, God, what is your plan for us? And where do we start to move forward? Feed the hungry. Provide shelter. Shelter. You know, there's shelters today that are provided by the government, that's provided by government dollars. And there are some shelters that are provided by the Salvation Army and some other organizations. And I love to see it when the body of Christ does what Jesus said to do. And this is what God is saying the fast is about. It's to make us aware of other people who have less than we do. And it doesn't matter how much we have or how little we have. Someone has less than we do. And what can we do to help them, to feed them, to shelter them? And then when you see the naked, to clothe him. So we have ministering to the physical needs of individuals. And then, of course, not to turn away from your own flesh and blood, which sometimes is the easiest to do. You probably have perfect family members, but in the McLean family, we have some scoundrels. And I was one of them. I just have to go on record. And so some of your families, you know, you have some in-laws and maybe you have a lot of outlaws. But the Word of God says, don't give up on them. Keep praying for them. And if they need help and you can help them, do it. Part of our fasting, the outreach of God. But today I wanted to get to the results. From the NIV translation in verse 8, it starts with then. Just then. Down in verse 9, in the NIV, it starts with then. We talked about what the fast is about, but what's next? What's then? And if we look into chapter or verse 10, about halfway through that verse, we see another then. Let me just touch on these thens for a moment before we close. Verse 8, then your light will break forth like the dawn. Your light, your purpose, your giftings, God's callings. You want to see accomplished what you were sent here to do. God is saying, if you allow the Holy Spirit to give us the spiritual breakthroughs on the inside, and then we allow the Spirit to give us a Holy Ghost breakthrough on the outside where we actually live our faith, then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing. This morning, Cynthia, we speak life over her. Life over her. Yes. Raise her up, Father. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will, what? Quickly, rapidly appear. Then, another then, your righteousness will go before you. Others will know who you are in God. They will recognize that you're a child of God. The presence of God will be visible, so others are impacted. We were talking about Moses coming out of the tent. His face was glowing because he had been in the presence of God. May the presence of God be so in our lives that we as a congregation, where we walk, where we talk, where we move, that the presence of God is so real and so profound that those around us will know that there is a God that's in heaven. Peter and John, the educated religious leaders, said, "We know they're not so smart." Now that's my translation. They basically said they're commoners. They're not educated like we are. But there's one thing they could not deny. We know that they're different because they've been with Jesus. Hallelujah. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. And to get the context, you've got to go and look at the Exodus and see that God was guarding them from the back, from all attacks, and God was showing them the way with the light and the cloud as they move forward. And then we come to another then. This will change our prayer time. This will change our prayer life. This will change our faith life. If we get to this then says, then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, here I am. That is relevant. That is real. That is relational. That is close contact with God. God desires for us, family, to not just believe, but to be closely connected so that when we speak, we know that God is hearing us and that God is saying, here I am. Tell you what, Doris, when you're going into the hospital and you had the coronavirus and you're not 18 years old and you're going in and all the odds are against you, what is really important to know is that when God is for us, who can stand against us? When you know, yes, John is another, when you know that God is for us, who can stand against us? This is the purpose of the fast. to then move in to a new realm of prayer, a new realm of faith, a new realm of operation in the Holy Spirit. Then you will call. The Lord will answer. You will cry for help. He will say, "Here I am."
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. This program is aired each Sunday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stewart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly."
Nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God. Nothing is impossible when you're trusting in His Word. Hearken to the voice of God to thee. Is there anything too hard for me? Then put your trust.
This is WCNO Palm City, the Good News Station.
Surrender. greatest name of all.
What are the key elements to being a Christian?
Well, you may not be dead physically, but according to the Word of God, until Jesus Christ comes into your life, you are dead spiritually. That means you are dead toward God. That means that God can't communicate with you. You can't communicate with God.
Dr. David Jeremiah gives us insight into basics of the Christian faith. Next time on Turning Point.
Listen to Turning Point at 12:30 p.m. Monday through Friday on the Good News Station, WCNO.
We see traces of deliverance. Lord, thank you for mercy. For the one who set us free. Oh, can you hear it? We're crying out for more. And the sand to our song is turning into a holy roar. Holy roar, yeah, yeah. Ooh. Rivers of new wine, Spirit, whisper of revival, and send us rushing. Lord, send us a reaching, yeah. Oh, can you hear it? It's the song of the redeemed, in pursuit of passion for the one who set us free. Oh, can you hear it? We're crying out for more. Listen to our song. Turning into a home.
Lord, I love to worship.